Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. When last we left the show, Lenore actually knew the answer to a question, so to be fair, she asked for another question.
Lenore, this is akin to, you forgot to give us homework.
We'll take that 10 points.
And this week we feature a round devoted to candy, both the familiar and the unfamiliar.
Drano chews.
A short-lived candy, but, you know. Though much of what happened that day in Hartford remains a mystery, what's clear is that there's nothing like a Hartford audience.
Your feet don't smell.
Right, your feet don't smell. Your socks stay up.
So call the neighbors, wake the dog, come feel the excitement.
Moving along, let's go.
Well, nothing to see here.
Says you, right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Thousands of people are on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. this morning, some arriving at dawn or earlier for the dedication ceremony for the new Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. The ceremony had to be put off from August because of Hurricane Irene, but now it's getting a proper dedication. The choir from King's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. King's sister, Christine Ferris King, is among family members who are speaking.
Great dreams can come true, and America is a place where you can make it happen. And I know that our president will agree with me on this.
President Obama is due to speak in about an hour. The global day of demonstrations inspired by the Occupy Wall Street protesters in New York City aren't over. Protesters have set up camp in the heart of London. And as NPR's Philip Reeves reports, they say they'll stay there indefinitely.
A cold dawn broke over London, illuminating a strange scene. Dozens of tents outside the doors of St. Paul's, the great domed cathedral built by Christopher Wren after the Great Fire of London in the 17th century. Hundreds of people spent the night there, hoping this will highlight their protest against the bankers and politicians, the economic system and austerity cuts that's created what they consider an unjust and broken society.
Whose street? Our street!
On the other side as well! Whose street?
Our street!
The protest began yesterday. Large numbers of police prevented the many hundreds of participants from reaching the London Stock Exchange, but it was generally peaceful. This protest is far smaller than those held in Rome, Madrid, and the US, but it is proving long-lasting. Philip Reeves, NPR News, London.
Thousands took to the streets in more than a dozen states yesterday, and in Arizona, police are reported to have made arrests following demonstrations in Phoenix and Tucson. In New York City, the number of arrests stemming from this weekend's demonstrations have topped 70. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner and other G20 finance chiefs have wrapped up this weekend's crisis meeting in Paris. Eleanor Beardsley reports they're trying to come to an agreement on new ways to stop the spread of the European debt crisis.
Some ideas discussed were increasing the IMF's reserves and giving it more tools to help fight the crisis, and a possible capital surcharge on top world banks to make sure they have adequate reserves and don't have to be bailed out by taxpayers was also endorsed. Geithner said while the focus has been on Europe, no region could be ignored.
I want to emphasize that we are working hard in the United States to repair the damage caused by our crisis, to reform our financial system, and to strengthen the fundamentals for future economic growth.
The financial brainstorming comes 2 weeks before G20 heads of state gather to endorse final crisis plans. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
And you're listening to NPR News. In Thailand's capital, relief workers are reinforcing barriers to help defend Bangkok, but neighboring communities have been swamped by what officials say are the country's worst floods in 50 years. Nearly 300 people have been killed nationwide, and although the government has stopped short of saying the threat has passed, the prime minister is reassuring residents that Bangkok will escape the worst of the flooding. A pair of prison riots in northern Mexico have left at least 27 inmates dead and 2 dozen injured. NPR's Jason Bobian reports both confrontations started as fights between rival gangs.
The first brawl broke out in a prison in Matamoros, just across the Rio Grande from Brownsville, Texas. At least 20 inmates were killed before Mexican soldiers and federal police were able to regain control of the institution. About 200 miles west in the neighboring state of Nuevo León, another prison riot, also on Saturday, claimed 7 inmates' lives. Officials say as many as 60 inmates were involved in the melee. Prisoners at the facility had recently been protesting the arrival of more inmates and complaining that the facility was already overcrowded. Mexican prisoners are often segregated according to gang affiliation, and confrontations between rival groups can quickly become deadly. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Mexico City.
A memorial service is scheduled today for the late Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. It's to be a private service at Stanford University for close friends and colleagues. California Governor Jerry Brown, meanwhile, has issued a proclamation declaring today Steve Jobs Day in California, saying Jobs changed the way the world communicates. Jobs died this month after a long struggle with pancreatic cancer. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You at St. Joseph College comes from the Noah Webster House and West Hartford Historical Society. On the web at noahwebsterhouse.org. And Merriam-Webster, publishers of Webster's Third International Dictionary. On the web at merriam-webster.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
From the Hoffman Auditorium in the Brewitt Athenaeum at St. Joseph College in West Hartford, Connecticut, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's a two-fisted, rough-and-tumble, rock-em-sock-em kind of guy, Tony Khan. She's a well-turned-out, state-of-the-art, off-the-cuff thinker, Lenore Shannon. And he's a font of all knowledge, a treasure trove of information, and a sight for sore eyes, Mr. Barry Nolan. And who's the captain tonight?
The off-the-cuff Lenore.
Lenore.
I am your captain.
We'll be the captain. Yes. To my left, team two, you could search the whole world over and never find another like him. Nature is kind that way. Arnie Reisman. You could never find another of such wit and soul with a dash of sass on the side. Carolyn Fay Fox. And who'd believe that this elegant woman is the baddest fluffer on the block, Miss Paula Lyons. Who steps up this week?
Nature boy. Mr. Uniqueness himself.
Arnold.
Just call me Neek. Yeah.
We'll be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and pencil.
And fight it out.
That's right.
Doodle in the air.
That's right. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations.
Okay.
For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. Mm-hmm. Well, I can barely believe it. Gosh darn.
Yeah.
It's meant to show belief, disbelief.
Yes,
that's
disbelief.
True. That's 5 points.
Uncle.
It's to show disbelief of evolution.
I'll be the uncle of a monkey. You know,
in other words, that's so preposterous that I can't believe it.
If you're right, then evolution is right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're right. So it would have come from, of course. What time period?
What time? Well, the late 19th century, or yeah. So it's.
Yeah, you know what? 10 points.
William Jennings Bryan?
No, actually...
Didn't it come from a song, trial. Richard? It was a song that was written and sung and popularized by people who were anti-Darwinian.
Well, it's the whole thing about Darwin. Yeah, I didn't know it was a song. We didn't get that reference. We had that...
It was a movie, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh. No, he is serious.
Do you remember any?
My rendition. You want to hear my rendition of "I'll Be a Monkey's
Uncle"? Ladies and gentlemen,
"I'll Be a Monkey's Uncle."
He crooned it.
Yeah. "I'll be a monkey's uncle if you'll be my aunt tonight."
Huh? Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
Ape.
And sometime after Charles Darwin's theories of evolution were first published, people considered it so laughable and incredible that many people began using this phrase to show the absurdity of it. So it does. It's late 19th century, and it's in response to Darwin. Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of "always a bridesmaid, never a bride."
Ah. Ah, sad, bittersweet memories of high school.
High school?
You're always coming close. And perhaps the implication is you have the kind of personality everybody else likes, but not enough to want to marry you.
Yes, that's
so
very
you're
much...
kind of like a wallflower in a pink dress. For always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yes,
and I believe it comes from an advertising campaign in the 50s for... Now, what the heck was the product? Jello?
He's absolutely right. It's actually before that. It's
Junket? Clairol.
No, this goes back away. You're right.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Stockings? Hosiery?
Hair product?
No. It goes back to the 1920s, actually.
Oh, it goes
back that far.
Oh, liquor.
Liquor.
Yeah, right.
Liquor.
Drink more, marry more.
Yeah. What about Well, if you're always a bridesmaid, never a bride, could it be toothpaste or something?
You're getting very close.
Hair was big
hair
in the 20s.
Removal?
No, you're getting very close with the toothpaste, though.
Halitosis.
Mouthwash.
Mouthwash is exactly right. It's Listerine. I think Miss Lyons had made quite a contribution to that. But yes, it goes back to the 1920s Listerine ad, which implied a halitotic connection to romantic success. So that's how that, you were always a bridesmaid, never a bride, because we couldn't stand within 3 feet of you. That's how that goes.
It was the reverse of the Liz Taylor ad, always a bride, never a bridesmaid.
Try this one. I love finding this one out. I don't know if you'll get it, but, you know, give it a shot, Arnie. To be on good footing with.
Good footing. Well, that's to be friends with, to be in a good
position,
relationship with someone else.
Yes.
And I would assume it means, does it have anything to do with balance?
Mountain climbing?
No. I will say, I'll give you the 5 points. It also means to be pleasantly allied to others, so it implies
some
sort of... Yeah, right.
So, that was interesting. Mountain climbing.
Does
it have anything to do
with
a sport?
No, not really.
Not with a duel?
No. Oh,
duel.
Duel.
Oh, good footing.
Good footing. Uh-huh. Well, does it refer then to architectural footings?
That was what I thought. No, it isn't.
Okay,
but it's a very figurative meanings of footing.
We're not talking iambic pentameter.
You're in step with? Does it have the same kind of context?
No, it does not. That's a great guess. So you're going to get points for these.
Okay.
Nothing to do with James Brown.
Nothing that I know.
Michael Jackson. Okay. Is it to do with human feet?
Yes, it does.
In terms of posture, standing.
A right one and a left one.
It has everything to do with human feet.
Good footing is like being a good... standing.
Yours is a good fit.
You fit into someone else's shoes.
You fit into their life like
your
a comfortable shoe.
Your feet don't smell.
Right. Your feet don't smell. Your socks stay up.
We've ridden this one right off the rails.
Yeah, right. Before it gets any worse, kill it.
It does have to do with the human foot. Anybody
you toe the line.
It has to do with toes also.
Anything
to do with
toes?
Let's see.
Ballet?
No, anyone on the other side?
Does it have anything to do with walking in somebody's footsteps to
That's what I just
keep
said.
No,
things quiet?
No. Anyone in the audience know?
Standing on tiptoe?
What? I'm sorry?
Trapeze?
No, no.
Military.
Listen to this. In many cultures, there is the practice of letting the length of the middle toe determine your standing in the community.
Exactly.
The longer the middle toe, the higher you are in the community.
Which communities are this?
The ones that don't need shoes.
That is the most likely derivation. Some say it comes from the tradition of apprentices footing the bill at the local tavern after a work day so that they can impress the masters and the journeymen. But most people think it is from the practice of letting the length of the middle toe determine your standing in the community.
Are those cultures now extinct?
No, they're everywhere. So that's what they say, and I'm sure I'll get lots of...
Did we get any points?
Yes, give them 7 points for that. That's a good one.
To our
winions. Try this one, Lenore. To blow hot and cold.
To blow hot and cold signifies a moodiness in a person where they can very easily get excited or cool down in the same instant.
Yes. To waver.
Mercurial.
Material, yes.
And to blow hot. So where did it derive from? I don't know.
Central heating.
Not central heating.
Okay, so when you blowing hot.
Blowing hot and cold. This has a specific origin. This has a very specific origin, and usually when we say these things, you know, where does it come from? What's the first guess?
Shakespeare
is always the first guess, but it's not Shakespeare. It's not Shakespeare. This is the second guess.
The Bible. The Bible, then.
Not the Bible, no.
Okay, Homer?
No, but you're...
Getting close?
Yeah.
Marge?
No, not Marge.
Marge. Jethro, yeah.
Right.
I'm getting close when I'm on Homer?
Yeah.
Plato. Socrates.
Oh, I'm just going to put an end to this.
We've named them all. Aristotle, Onassis.
Audience, if it doesn't come from Shakespeare, where does it come from?
Aesop.
Aesop's fables is right. But do you know the fable? See if you can get some more points on this.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that your breath can be both hot and cold,
yes,
depending upon whether your hand is dry or it has water?
You know, he's exactly right. That's very good, Tony. It does have... Your breath can blow hot and cold. Exactly. And
comes from the fable of the blowhard.
In a way, it comes from the story of the satyr's dinner guest who blew upon his fingers to warm them when he came in from the cold and blew upon his soup to make it cooler, leading the satyr to denounce the man for blowing hot and cold with the same mouth.
And I was asked that question.
There you go.
Good job.
Paula, definition and derivation of blockbuster.
Well, blockbuster is a smash hit, but I don't think we've talked about the derivation in the past. So is this from a karate, where they literally bust the block?
No, that's not
okay,
it. It's a sensationally huge extravaganza, blockbuster. Yeah, that's blockbuster. 5 points.
Yeah.
Bust the block.
I know. Does that have to do with the city block?
It does.
It does. So it's like it's something of epic proportions that's coming down the street.
Well, more or less, yeah.
Yeah.
And people wait in line all the way around the block.
Was a parade?
The crowd is thick along the block.
Was a parade?
No, it's not like that. It has to do with the city block, of course, and
it's urban renewal.
Well, it would be. That would be required, probably.
So there's such a big crowd lining up to see this fantastic event that they cause property destruction and a whole city block? What?
No.
Does that have to do with
something
demolition?
Causing demolition?
It has a lot to do with demolition.
Okay, it has to do with blowing up a building.
Well,
explosion.
Yes.
Bringing the house down.
Bringing the house down, the same kind of
Well,
concept.
You know, you're 9 points there, Philomen.
We're 9 points
this
there.
This comes from the war.
It does.
These were huge German bombs that would level an entire block during the Blitz.
That's exactly what it was.
Wow.
Very good, Barry.
It's scary when
but
you
still.
Think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, from World War II,
9 points.
A blockbuster was a bomb that could level an entire block. So 9 points for your effort. And finally, Barry, definition and derivation of ballpark estimate.
Ballpark estimate is an educated guess as to what a particular number may be. And one of the things that sportscasters were famous for were sitting there as a game began on radio and going, ladies and gentlemen, the attendance tonight is about 28,600 people.
Okay, 10 points. Yes, very good. It wasn't exactly the sportscasters. Do you know who might give slightly, rounded estimates of ballpark crowds?
The owners.
The ushers.
No, Paula is exactly right. It is the owners.
I want you to think it's loaded to the gills. Right?
Yeah, this goes back to early baseball. Attendance at open stadiums was hard for news reporters to reckon, so team owners, anxious to foster the idea of great success, would give slightly inflated estimates, close but generous, in order to encourage business. And that's how we got the phrase, a ballpark estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, you guys. Thanks for playing that round. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the International String Trio. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Lenore's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Lenore if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word shotten. S-H-O-T-T-E-N. Shotten. Gentlemen? Says You audience for 2012. Will it be the folks in Charlotte, North Carolina, that first weekend in January? Certainly the citizens of Thousand Oaks in San Bernardino, California could challenge when we get there in February. Do you live in Charlotte, Thousand Oaks, San Bernardino? Need a great night out? All else fails, there's us at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. Where the Join the Fun link tells you how to join the fun. And while you're there, we challenge you to come up with questions because, hey, 16 years. Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, a profound stutter as a child left Alan Rabinowitz unable to communicate and to prefer animals to people. Now a conservationist of tigers and jaguars and an explorer of the world's last wild places, he has extraordinary insight into both animals and the human condition. Join me. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
You think that money is everything?
That's Seth MacFarlane, creator of the animated series Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland Show. On the next Fresh Air, we'll talk about comedy, and we'll listen to his unironic new album, in which he sings relatively obscure music from the American popular songbook. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Support for Says You and WPLN comes from WPLN listener members. Men from Allegra, Nashville, locally owned and offering a comprehensive array of print and marketing communication services, located in Grassmere Business Park. More information on printing and marketing services online at allegra-nashville.com. And by South Walton, Florida, the 10th annual Seaside School Half Marathon and 5K Run in Invade Scenic Highway in 30A in South Walton, Florida, March 2nd through 4th. Information is available online at visitsouthwalton.com.
says thanks to the Greater Hartford Arts Council, which supports more than 150 art and heritage organizations in Greater Hartford alone. On the web at letsgoarts.com. Thanks also to the First Niagara Bank for its support of the arts in the community. Welcome to Connecticut Public Radio. New listeners who might be wondering about now. And to our longtime friends at WFCR and WNNI in Amherst, Massachusetts, we say thanks, you guys, for everything.
Wow! Yeah. The International String Trio. That is Ippai Ichimuro on the bass, Jacob Trasik on the violin, and the immortal Slava Tolstoy on guitar. Thank you, guys. Take me a minute here to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please thank Lauren Miller, the Director of Cultural Satellite Services at the Greater Hartford Arts Council, sitting next to Says You's own Benjamin Scherr. Thank you very much for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word schatten. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Schatten. In Boston, to hem a pair of pants or skirt.
That's a good one.
Actually, the definition is quite simple and curious. Schatten means frog-shaped.
Frog-shaped.
Tadpolean.
Croquesque.
Our logo is tadpolean, isn't
it?
It
is.
Yeah. Croquesque.
Frog-shaped. Not a lot of call for the word schatten, no. But if you need it, you got
That's
it.
That's why we haven't heard it before.
I guess. Schatten, it means frog-shaped. Well, it could, or it could mean something else. Arnold?
Yes, it's a verb, a slang verb. I guess it must be from, I think it's originally from horse racing, for a horse's second outing after a disappointing run. It now basically means to do over, to revise, make another attempt.
A do-over.
Yes.
Is a schatten.
To schatten.
To schatten is to do it over.
Right.
Got it wrong the first time. Time to schatten.
Apparently.
Well, it could be that, or it could be something else. Paula, what say you?
Well, actually, this is a lovely word. Oh. A literally lovely word. It just means tired in a real nice way, because it's very polite on the card. It says schatten, exhausted from a recent romantic encounter.
Schatten, man.
Tired from a recent romantic encounter. I'm all schatten.
I'm all schatten.
Started off the day, you know, but now I'm all schatten, okay? That could be it. It could be the do-over that Arnie espoused. Or, you know, frog shape doesn't sound as bad as it did before, does it? It's one of those three, and the choice, Lenore, is yours.
I'm just suggesting to Lenore that since you're the guy who chooses these things,
right, which you must always, one must always go back.
If something like this were on the written page, it would leap right out at me, and I'd say, I've got to use it. But frog-shaped, somehow, it's just
It leaps out at one. No pun.
And maybe there's a kind of jewelry, or there's a...
Might be sort of Inca going back to when. Right. Barry, what do you think?
Shot and bling?
I think words arise because there's some use for them.
Oh, silly boy.
And when I think, well, you know, once a week, we need to come up with a word for frog shapes. What would that be? A frog? That could work.
Okay, it's
do-over. I'd go with exhausted.
I'd go with
exhausted.
You'd do exhausted, or you would... Okay, Tony?
I'm holding out for frog shape.
All right, now we've got a real problem.
That's why we made you the book.
Ah, yes. Okay, so, but then, of course,
you say to go for exhausted, but exhausted from a romantic encounter. Why would one need... Yeah.
Like, I'm one's sure. old. That's why one needs it.
And where would you express that concern, and to whom would you...
Daily, shortly after breakfast. Yeah.
I think we've chased that avenue.
There'll be no television commercials featuring him on a beach in a bathtub. Okay, I think it's to do over as in a horse race.
All right. You look exhausted.
Okay, shotten, it does sort of sound spent. No, do over as in a horse race. I'm going to be wrong.
Arnold, the captain has her head in her hands, actually. While she listens to your answer, she has thought that shotten is a do-over. Tell her what the situation is.
Please fake a definition.
Yeah.
Please fake a definition.
It so it's frog-shaped, isn't it?
Well, let's ask the audience. Audience, you got a 50-50 shot. What do you think? Well, I don't even think that's real close. I think that the romantic encounter is winning out. Paula, that was your definition. Is that, in fact, what it means?
Shotten. Exhausted from a recent romantic encounter.
All right, way to go, audience. Barry gets the I told you.
Well, obviously, Tony and I, despite our protestations, are not familiar with that term.
The consequence of too many shots?
Let us go on to round three, a round of sweet and low. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the confection I have in mind. Mm. An example where Aries hangs out is, of course, Mars bars.
Mars bars.
Okay, so you get where we're going here? All right.
Sort of, kind of.
Try this one, Carolyn. Mm. The confection brought to mind by the clue, connection in Mr. Charles's brain.
Connection in Mr. Charles's brain.
It's not Charleston Chew.
Not Charleston Chew. Is it Ray Charles?
Connection
in Mr. Charles's brain.
Connection.
I'm thinking chocolate-covered synapse, and I know that's not right.
I was going for Ray Wave.
Ginger synapse.
Ray.
Oh, I have no
Ray
idea.
Ray Bans, but those are sunglasses.
They're getting it. The connection.
Ray cells.
Raisins.
Raisinettes.
Raisinettes is right. Can you parse that out for them?
Goodness. Raisin. Okay, raise. Raison?
Other side, help them out.
What's has to do with reason?
Raise synapse.
Synapse?
Ray synapse.
Oh, it is.
That's too big of a stretch. I boo that.
Boo.
Boo.
Boo. That's the spirit. Now we got it going. They get a total of 8 points
eight
for that.
Points? Okay.
All right, settle down over there.
All right.
He did it.
Try this one, Tony. This
peanut brittle.
No, not peanut brittle. Confection brought to mind by the clue, sinks a tiny, tiny boat.
Sinks a tiny, tiny craft?
What's the thing when you put a hole in the...
Lifesaver.
No, you open the thing in the bottom of the boat.
Drain?
Because you don't want the other guys to capture it. In the military, in the Navy, when they...
Oh, I... Drano chews.
They're capturing your submarine.
A short-lived candy, but, you know.
Drano chews. Deliberately sinks a tiny, tiny boat.
You open the thing yourself in the boat when you've been captured.
And what's that called?
And that's called...
Oh. Plug?
It says turn three shades.
But what candy is it?
Don't worry about the candy. Think of the term, of the naval term first. And
but
then
I can't
get you.
Think of that. No. So I'm going to come up with random
well,
naval.
Thinking of candies at random is not going to help.
Well, sometimes it
Okay. Fudge.
Red hot. Red hot.
I don't know.
Hot tamales.
No,
it's scallop. It's something that starts with an S.
It does.
It's
Oh,
what is it when you sink your own boat?
Flotsam juice.
No. Audience, this is too agonizing.
Yeah.
Skittles.
Skittles.
Scuttles.
Scuttle the boat.
Skittles.
If you scuttle a regular boat, a tiny, tiny boat, you skittle. So that's...
Scuttle. I got the word.
Boy.
Try this one, Arnie.
Yeah?
Phrase to which one might respond, Danke, darling.
Payday?
Payday?
I don't know what your house like.
Thank you.
Well, Barry has it.
You
Barry
look
does
marvelous,
have it.
Barb.
Right.
It's an obvious combination of languages here.
Yeah. Obvious. It's so obvious.
Danke, darling.
So what has a German ending?
Possible no, response to Danke, darling.
Milk dud?
No.
That was my nickname in college.
I was Junior Mintz.
Is that it, Junior Mintz?
No.
We're
just taking wild guesses.
Reese's Pieces.
Just taking wild guesses.
Yes, we are.
I don't think we're going to get
Mellow
it.
Oh, I got it, yeah.
You got it? What do you think it is?
Bitter honey.
Bitter honey.
Bitter honey. Bitter honey. Bitter honey. Bitter honey.
Gotcha.
Moving along.
Let's go.
Nothing to see here.
Come on.
Lenore.
Oh.
How the lisping pugilist practices.
The lisping pugilist.
Practices.
Swing. Something.
Mr. Goodbar. I don't know.
Spawing.
Well, in a way.
What is it?
Spar.
Spar.
Clark Spar.
Skarks, Clark Spar.
Oh.
You got the spar part.
Spar.
Well, so it's bar. It's something bar. And so we think of
Heath
the different bar. Heath Bar.
Heath Bar is exactly right. Heath Bar.
Heath Bar.
That's how a lisping pugilist practices. Heath Bar.
He move it along.
He far.
You can boo all you want. There's two more here.
Keep going.
Try this one, Paula.
That was hard.
Let's go.
Stickers that sound like doves, perhaps.
Okay.
Stickers
that sound like
that
doves.
Sound
so
like
they
doves.
Coo.
Cuckoo platter. No. Cuckoo. Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo.
No.
Charleston Coo.
No. Stickers. Label
you
coo.
You got this one too?
Decal coo.
Yeah.
Decal?
Labels?
Different kinds of stickers than you're thinking of.
Oh, like burrs?
Burr.
Oh. Burr. Oh,
burr
coo.
Goobers.
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 Yes.
Is exactly right. Oh, the bell's giving out. There it is.
The bell's giving out.
Coobers, yes.
Coobers.
Are stickers that sound like doves. They're coobers.
Sure. Oh,
coobers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And finally.
And finally.
Right.
And let's close it with the worst one of all. Barry Pot. Ooh, that was an ugly groan from the back of the room. Yeah. Barry, possible answer to... How romantic will she get?
Oh. How romantic will she get? And this is the answer to that question.
Yes.
Oh.
Before she's totally shot.
How romantic?
Is that...
Sweet and low.
What do you think?
Get out.
Go ahead, 10 points. You get 10 points.
I have no idea.
Not what I had in mind. I had something a little bit more chocolate in mind. You want to give it a shot?
Take it, Lenore.
Hershey Kisses is exactly right.
I'm glad I gave you the 10 points. Hershey Kisses.
I think Sweet and Low is better.
Hershey Kisses.
So I think he thinks Sweet and Low is better. So do I, actually. So 10 points for that. Very good.
You don't want to know the things we came up with over here.
Let us go on to round 4, which is Lenore's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Arnold, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word Soup.
Soup.
S-U-P-E. S-U-P-E.
Soup.
Soup. That's the guy in my building who fixes everything.
Gentlemen?
Soup.
You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at sezhou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at sezhou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U.
Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
Most big companies aren't hiring. A lot of small businesses can't get loans to expand. But there is a bright spark. Many mid-sized companies are holding their own. They could start the engine and drive the U.S. economic recovery. I'm Neil Cunnan, making it In the Middle, plus the opinion page. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donate it to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
Support for Says You and WPLN comes from WPLN listener members, men from Overbrook School, providing a Christ-centered, nurturing environment focused on traditional Catholic values and academic excellence. For prospective parents, the fall open house will be held October 19th and November 16th. Details are online at overbrook.edu. And by Import Auto Maintenance, providing minor and major repair services for most European and Japanese imports, welcomes female auto owners for car service and repair. Import Auto Maintenance at the same location since 1975, 1615 Broadway.
This week, Says You enjoyed the hospitality of St. Joseph College in West Hartford. Liberal arts education and a culture of achievement and collaboration. On the web at sjc.edu. Says You's caravan of cajolery stops in Charlotte, North Carolina, this January 7th and 8th for Charlotte Rambling, Tar Heel Tomfoolery with Says You. Then the weekend of February 17th, it's off to Southern California for shows in Thousand Oaks and San Bernardino. Tickets, information, and details are available at sezhou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember, January 7th and 8th in Charlotte and the weekend of February 17th in Southern California. Live performances of Says You.
That is the International String Trio. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Says You in West Hartford is hosted by the Noah Webster House and St. Joseph College. The program is made possible through the generous support of lead sponsor Merriam-Webster, with additional support from the Greater Hartford Arts Council and First Niagara Bank. The event's media sponsor is Amherst, Massachusetts, WFCR-FM, and WNNZ. Thanks to all you folks for making this possible. We have had a few moments with the word soup. We will go first to Tony Kahn.
Well, Richard, I think this word is based on the story that we have all heard of the would-be actor who gets his first chance, a walk-on with one line on Broadway. There is a sound of a pistol shot in the background, and he's supposed to come out and say, "Hark, I hear a pistol shot." And he practices and practices and practices. How should I say it? "Hark, I hear a pistol shot." No, "Hark, I hear a pistol shot. Hark, I hear a pistol shot." I think that's it. Well, finally he says, "What the heck, I'll just trust my instinct." So he comes on stage and he says, "Shark, I fear a hissel pot. Park, I near a shissel pot. Oh, the hell with it." And he walks off, and that's the end of his career. A soup is an actor without a speaking part.
So if he'd have been a soup, he'd have been a lot better off.
That's how he ended up, finally.
Okay.
He souped it.
An actor with no speaking part is a soup.
Isn't that an extra? Well,
could be.
Yeah, cheap labor.
Or it could be something else. Business. Lenore, what's a soup?
Well, it's someone that shows up at your house as a visitor right before you're going to go to bed. So... You tucked in for the night, and the doorbell rings, and it's, oh, God, they're here. A soup is an annoyance, an annoying visitor.
An annoying visitor.
Yeah.
So I've often been a soup at your house.
Yes, actually, both on the phone and in person.
Yeah, that's true. It could be that, or Barry, something else.
Soup, S-U-P-E. Is Campbell's new salt-free alphabet soup for underachievers.
No, I don't think so.
There goes that sponsorship.
Yeah, right there.
There goes it. Yeah, and we were close to that one.
Yeah.
Actually, a soup is to make a temporary fix. Soup, to make a temporary fix.
To make a temporary fix is to soup it. It could be that. It could be that annoying visitor... Or it could be an actor without a speaking role. It's one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, is yours.
So are we thinking make a temporary fix, which is lovely, Barry. We love it very much. Is that a play on a super, or?
I don't know.
S-U-P. I kind of like that.
You like that. Yeah. And Carolyn?
I don't know. I think it might be Lenore.
And you're thinking?
My thinking is that she spent a lot of time sort of dilly-dallying around about being tucked
annoying,
in and all
yes.
that, and then got to the point that it was an annoying visitor.
And what was Tony's again?
A non-speaking
actor.
Actor with no words to say.
Who should be an extra, really? I mean,
be an extra.
Let's see. I'm going with Carolyn because you were right last time. We think, or at least two of us do, that is Lenore.
Lenore, they have come to the conclusion that a soup is an annoying guest or visitor. Is that, in fact, what a soup is?
When your doorbell rings at midnight, there'll be no soup there. Please make up a definition.
Oh, okay. All right.
You did make up a definition. We turn to the audience. Audience, what's your choice? Well, I don't think it's even close. Barry, the audience thinks it's to make a temporary fix. Is that, in fact, what soup means?
All those nice people were wrong.
It does not, because it actually means...
Shark, I fear a histopot.
Oh, my God, really? Well, that's all right. No.
An actor without a speaking part.
Is a soup. And 10 points.
That must come from the old... Before you were called an extra, you were called a supernumerary.
There you go.
Oh, I
10
see.
Points.
Oh, when they have brains.
It would have been helpful if you told us that a few minutes ago.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yep. Let's go on to round five. Let's close tonight. Many years ago, we had a bluffing word, grolix. Remember grolix?
Yes.
The string of punctuation marks that denotes bad language in comic strips.
Yeah.
That's what a grolix is.
Oh.
Turns out that was only one of many terms for comical behavior. 10 points for correctly defining each of the following cartoonerisms. Hmm. For example, agitrons.
Is that those little diacritical marks like that denote trembling?
Yes, it's wiggly lines around a shaking object.
Agitrons.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Agitrons.
Wow.
You're going to love this one. This is great. Couldn't believe we found this.
Oh. All right.
Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
What might be meant by endotherms?
Endotherms?
I-N-D-O-T-H-E-R-M-S. Endotherms. What might be
something that indicates the heat.
Something indicates
something
heat.
Yeah, like definitely. Little steam squiggles.
Steam squiggles?
Yep, that's exactly
steam
right.
Steam squiggles. Great.
They're the wavy rising lines used to denote heat or steam,
endotherms.
And they're called endotherms.
Love that.
All right. Try this one, Tony. Solrads.
Solrads?
S-O-L-R-A-D-S.
That would be the radiant energy of the sun hitting you, so those lines that come out of the sun. That I mastered that in the first grade.
Yeah, that's also from a light bulb or anything else like that. That's exactly right. It's lines emanating from a light source to indicate radiance are solrads.
Yeah.
Now we'll get a little harder, but we'll keep going here. Try this one, Arnie. Swallops.
Swallops?
S-W-A-L-L-O-P-S. Swallops.
Is that like the
bulging
muscles?
Lines in the neck that show someone swallowing,
hard?
No, but
gulping?
You get points for that. It's a great guess. No?
It's not gulping. It's not like a human, like a face.
No.
Swallops.
You'll love hearing the answer to this. You'll love the answer.
Swalloping.
Is it to do with wallop?
Well, you're going to get some points. That's not really it. I don't want to throw you off.
All right. Well, any other ideas?
Swallops.
Is it little stars around something?
No, there's another one for that, but I'm saving that for a bluffing
one. So okay. All right. We give up.
They give up. Any help from the other side? Anyone to try it?
It's not this little bird thing?
No.
No.
You want to guess, audience?
Hitting
well,
that's what I said.
It's from hitting someone, but it's actually curved lines around a character's moving limbs. To show movement.
Well, it has something to do with wallops.
Yeah, it does have something to do with wallops, so give them 6 points for that. I think that's fair. Try this one, Lenore. Staggeration.
No.
Oh.
S-T-A-G-G-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. Staggeration.
Oh.
What might that be?
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of Tintin and the last cartoon I read, which is probably...
But would it maybe have to do with the shape of the mark that you're staggering something? So, you know, like maybe like rays of
Is it several
lightning.
Panels in one panel? Is does it? Is
no,
it,
is that it, is not it.
Okay.
Is it something in the that indicates the character's sense of confusion and disorientation?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So
a little kind of whirlwind
around your head that indicate.
Oh, like little pinwheels and.
No, not that. I'm going to give you some
stars.
Points.
Stars?
No. I don't think they have it. Anybody I want to guess on
it's
the other side?
It's just like the animation of staggering backwards. I mean,
that
kind of
in
pixelation.
A way,
parallel lines?
No, it's the dotted line tracing the path of an inebriated character.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's the staggeration. So you had some elements of that. Give them 4 points for that. 4 points is plenty for that.
That's previous movement.
Yeah. And these last two are very hard, but there is a way to get them, so I want you to try this.
Just cheat.
Cheat, if you can't, anything else.
Okay, let's cheat.
Paula Pludes.
Pludes?
Spell it.
Pludes. P-L-E-W-D-S. Pludes.
P-L-E-W-E-S.
Is it the puffs of someone's breath?
Ooh,
what a
nice.
Great guess. It is not.
Oh,
I'm giving you points for
that. It's not the balloon over their head where all the words are.
It's not like... trudging through snow or something like that?
Not that. Pludes. I'm giving you points, though, because the breath was great.
So you said there was a way to get this.
Yes, there Pludes. Is. An odd connection, but it's what does it sound like?
Plead. Plude. Sounds like the past tense of plead.
No. Plude.
Pludes.
Well, it sounds like blowing out, breathing out. Blowing
out.
The pludes.
No, I don't think
steam, smoke, anything?
I'm going to give you some points, but I don't think that's it. Mm-hmm. Other side, you want to give it a shot?
Is it when several frames go by with no dialogue to show some...
No, that's not it at all. Audience, you want to take a guess?
10 seconds,
bug-out eyes? No. A sweat is exactly right. From the audience.
Sweat.
It is flying sweat droplets around a character's heads. It made me think of raining, pluvial, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
So I thought of flying
sweat
droplets to show stress, strain, or hard work are pludes. And finally, Barry, give them, I don't know, 4 points for that. And wait a minute, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Give them 3 points for that.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah. Just try this, Barry. Yeah. Briffits. B-R-I-F-F-I-T-S. Briffits.
Briffits
are... Anything to suggest time passing?
In an odd way,
like
yes.
Like dots, you know, in one panel and the next.
You're getting points for that, too. No, it's not that.
Briffits are things that signify the brief duration of something.
Yes, they do.
And the circumstances under which a cartoon character...
yep.
Needs to indicate the brief duration of something.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to give them one hint, and I'm just going to see if you can do this. Think Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's the lines
and
going
the road runner.
It's the lines
the
going
road runner.
Down, indicating, you know, falling after thinking that you're walking on thin air.
The briffet indicates... When the roadrunner has fallen out of the frame and the things come up that indicate the roadrunner has fallen in a way that
is not
made an impression on him.
That's, you know, they're very close. Give them 4 points for their effort. Anybody want to guess?
It's not the...
No?
It's not the cloud of smoke caused by the speeding away?
That's exactly what it is, Arnold. Very good. That is exactly what it is. They are the clouds of dust that hang in the spot recently vacated by a fleeing character. Phew, 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 and the briffets.
Excellent.
And the briffets stay behind. That was a great guess, Arn. Too bad it wasn't for you because it meant you fell 3 points short. The winners this week, Lenora Shannon's team, 76 points. Congratulations. That is all. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Chris Dobbs and all the folks at the Noah Webster House for making our trip so much fun. And to Dr. Bob Smith, to Howard Kirzner, to Laura Falker, and all the folks here at St. Joseph College for being such gracious hosts. Scher and Salkind are the writers. Antonio Oliart mans the meters. And Zach Moore is soon to be a college graduate. Once every few weeks, we remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and when you show up. Thank you, Hartford, for showing up. See you next week.
Support for Says You at St. Joseph College comes from the Noah Webster House and West Hartford Historical Society. On the web at noahwebsterhouse.org. And Merriam-Webster, publishers of Webster's Third International Dictionary, on the web at merriam-webster.com. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find the complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming this morning comes from WPLN listener members and from the Web School, where talented students from multiple states and countries learn together, preparing them for a future in a global economy. More information is available at thewebschool.com or 888-C-WEB.
College years are about learning and growing intellectually and spiritually. Harding University focuses on both. Bible classes for students of all majors, foreign and domestic mission opportunities, and a variety of service clubs are all part of the Harding experience. Experience faith, learning, and living at Harding University. More information is available online at harding.edu.